Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're doing part 141 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and you can jot this down if you'd like to have a copy. It's program number 243. Copies will be either a CD or a audio tape. Postage and handling and the tape and CD are free of charge. The reason we're doing this is we'd love you to study it so that you can also preach the gospel and teach people right from wrong. And we must obey right, the truth from the Word of God, or else we're not going to be able to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service outwardly. We have the inward anointing from the Holy Spirit, and by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have the interior and exterior anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, gives us the power, which most people call grace, because the people that rewrote the King James Version, I mean Shakespeare, changed the word from power to grace. Most people don't know what the word grace means. They think it means that we've been saved so we can sin some more. But the Lord didn't say, go and sin some more. He said, go and sin no more. Because the power of God is sufficient to keep us from sinning if we love the idea of going into the kingdom of heaven and staying out of hell. We will then read the word which has the Holy Spirit power in us to give us the power to never sin again. In other words, to go and sin no more. Because some people say that the law is done away with. What Paul meant when he said that was that we were under the penalty of the law, but when we accept the power of God within us, which people call grace, it's the power of God in us, then we are able to go and sin no more, and therefore the law no longer has any jurisdiction over us. But the Bible plainly states in the first chapter of Romans, and throughout the Bible, that if First and Second Peter, if we go and sin some more, then there remains no forgiveness for us. And in the first chapter of Romans, it tells us that the Lord would turn us over to a reprobate mind. That means a mind that is rejected by God and will start doing things that even animals don't do. So, Father, anoint this service. Pour out your Spirit upon it. Let it be you and you alone that does the talking on this tape, Lord. For people that don't believe in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that you are still in this world, in human beings, the continuation of your incarnation, let them know it. Let the Holy Spirit through you, to me, and through me, convict their hearts that their souls might be saved and that the church might be strengthened. And that all the hypocrisy in churches be done away with. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now we're going to be reading a piece of literature. It's called Framed. I tell people that the news media and the world government and the Roman Catholic cult, who has control over the world government, United Council of Churches, and the media have railroaded me, and Susie and myself railroaded me in or framed me to where I went to prison for 4 years. It was a 6-year sentence, but I served 4 years because I had a good report in prison. They said I was a model prisoner, like the Apostle Paul was. I'm going to sing a song for you here with a group that's behind me. It's like Onward Christian Soldiers. We all have to get into the groove.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soul.
soldiers marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to
the Lord. Well, you know, it's been quite a few days now that we haven't read any letters because the urgency that the Lord has put upon me is explaining some of the things that have been going on in the world and against us. There is the fury of Satan that's been coming against this church, both inwardly and outwardly. And I just wanted everybody to know that what you're reading in the press, if it's saying that we're evil, then you're listening to the devil. Now, there's a piece of literature here that I put out years ago, and a segment of it is from my deceased wife, Susie. And so I'm sure you'll be interested in listening to it because it's for your soul's sake. So, Jeannie, go ahead and read it. It's called Framed. I've been stating that I was framed by the world government recently, and I was sent to prison because they stated I was cheating on income tax. But Sue and I put releases in the newspaper in the Southwest Times Record that we would exchange tax bills with anybody in that town. But say, you know, if you think you're paying more taxes than we are, bring your tax bills up here and we'll pay yours and you pay ours. Not one person in the Fort Smith, Arkansas area traded tax bills with us, nor did anybody else. Okay, but we mentioned just the city of Fort Smith. We paid our taxes when we owed them, if we owed them. But there's a lot of people that even... we really didn't even owe them, and we paid taxes. Because in the Bible, it tells that the churches are not supposed to pay the taxes. The work of God should not pay taxes. But in the New Testament, the Lord said, go ahead and give Caesar his taxes, because he is not due anything else. But Jesus told him to go down to the river and get a fish, and the tax money was in the fish's mouth. That's how supernatural it is. You people should read the Bible. You know, it's very interesting. And more than interesting, it is the salvation of your soul if you receive what it says. All right, let's read this piece of literature that I wrote. When did I write this? Somewhere in
1996.
1996. That's 10 years ago. This is 2006. But of course, we were writing similar things like this well before this ever happened. The part that Sue put in it was done over 25 years ago. Over 25 years ago. Okay, go ahead.
Susan Alamo prophesies, quote, Tony will be framed, unquote. Over 20 years ago, before Susan Alamo's death...
No, it's over 25 years ago. Susie has been dead now since April 8th, 82. So that's 24 years. This next April will be 25 years. Go ahead.
Before Susan Alamo's death, April 8th, 1982, she predicted on her national syndicated television program, quote, after my death, they will frame Tony and our churches, unquote. We had our first encounter with this group, the Cult Awareness Network, in California, approximately 3.5 years ago. Now, over 23.5 years ago.
No, now it's over 25. It's been much longer than that now. Add another 10 years onto that. Okay, then what else?
Suddenly, there were people appearing on television with all sorts of wild accusations against us. The next thing we knew, they would be printed in newspapers across the country. I began to realize that we had been picked for destruction by the news media. Having been a member of the news media at one time...
Yeah, Susie used to be a reporter for the Los Angeles Examiner, which was almost on... It's actually the same par as the L.A. Times. And so she knows all about the government corruption and the corruption of the newspapers, the news media. Okay, then go ahead.
It was obvious to me that all the members of the press were not ignorant or deceived regarding the lies being told about Tony and myself. These lies were told by most of the major newspapers and major television newscasts, as well as by television magazines throughout the world. You see our nation falling. You see the moral decay, the destruction of decency everywhere. People are afraid to walk the streets any longer in the cities. Look at our presidents that have been set up for assassination.
Well, they've been set up for assassination because they wanted money, fame, power, what little power they have, because Ronald Reagan told me that he was just a puppet of the Vatican. So what they do, they're set up. The Vatican has used them. I think they're morons. I think they're crazy for becoming president because they have to vow to cover for the Vatican. They have to vow to cover for the Vatican. They're a smokescreen for the Vatican. They do the evil things that the popes tell them to do, and that way they're being set up for assassination. Some of the nutcases out in the general population want to kill them and make do things. They actually do assassinate them. Say, for instance, when the Kennedys got too big for their boots, they stopped taking orders from the Vatican, and they killed them. So they're set up in the sense that if they don't do what the Vatican tells them, they kill them by one means or the other. And even took a shot at Ronald Reagan as a warning because he was getting a little too big for his britches. And now they just did a motion picture which is depicting George W. Bush to be killed. It shows him getting killed in the movie. The movie hasn't been released yet, but it shows, I think it's in 2012, that President Bush is killed in Chicago. And there's a big uprising about it in the news media that they don't think that they should have done a movie like that of a president that's still alive. And this was done by the same company that did the movie of the Christ. What do they call that movie?
Passion of the
Christ. The Passion. Of what?
Of the Christ.
Of the Christ. So it goes to show, I mean, who's doing this? Who's the one that did that movie?
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, Mel Gibson is an anti-Semitic, and he's a Catholic. And so he's putting all this kind of schmutz out. The Passion of the Christ is a twisted version of the Passion of the Christ, of Jesus. It is something that I didn't want to see, because I know they had all kinds of nuns walking around in it, and it was a very Catholic portrayal of truth. The Bible says that the Lord's body was beaten into a bloody mess to where you couldn't even tell that it was a human being. It could have been an animal stripped of its skin and bleeding. You could not recognize it as Christ on the cross. The Romans have always hated, and there's a lot of unsaved Jews that hated the Lord, but the people, the first converts were Jews. And it was the Jews that brought forth the Bible. The Apostle Paul said, "What profit is there in being a Jew?" He said, "Much in every way, chiefly because it was to them that God gave the oracles. He gave the scriptures to us Jews. And we brought it to you Gentiles as though that weren't enough." And then it's very profitable in being a Jew because God is a Jew. Okay, you Gentiles that hate Jews, you Ku Klux Klan monsters that hate blacks and Jews, if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, are going to have to kneel down before that Jew, the world's greatest Jew, in order to be saved. And then on top of that, you must have him with the Jewish Father and the Jewish Holy Spirit living within your mortal body before you can ever be saved and be risen from the dead on the day of judgment, so that your soul, your wretched souls, can enter the kingdom of God, so that your spirits can go up. So you Gentiles didn't write the Bible. We Jews did. So don't tell us what the Bible said. Ask us. Because you people in the United States are not at all familiar with Middle Eastern idioms. And we are. And so you people turn the Bible around, twist it in such a way. Hopefully you're doing it innocently, ignorantly. Because you can be forgiven sins of ignorance, but you cannot be forgiven sins that you knowingly, willingly, and wantingly are doing. Okay, let's continue with this piece of literature that I wrote.
"And I truly believe that Tony Alamo and myself have been set up by the press, by the news media, for out-and-out destruction, and I don't believe there is another way you could describe it. I believe, as I sit before you now and look out into your faces, that Tony Alamo and I will be framed one of these days. The government will have to resort to such measures because there's nothing they are saying about us that is truthful.
Because the Vatican hates the Bible. The Vatican is the reason for it is the Vatican is a bunch of homosexuals and child molesters. You've seen them do this. It was like thousands of Catholic priests have molested little altar boys, and you see them, they disappeared from the press, the media, because they transferred them to other Catholic monasteries and to the Vatican, to where they can't be prosecuted anymore. The only ones they're attacking, they fabricate stories about Christian churches, and they call Christians cults. Like, you have President Clinton that joined the Baptist Church so he could get the Southern vote. This President Clinton, and he was all the time a Catholic. He went to Catholic parochial schools. He actually went to the university, Catholic universities, and even got a scholarship at Rhodes a Rhodes Scholarship to Oxford, England, which is strictly Catholic. And he went to, everything he did was Catholic, and after he became president, he came out of the closet and went on tour all over the country with the Pope and stated that the only good thing about Perot was that he was a Catholic. And then he boasted about slaughtering the Christians at Waco, along with his lesbian attorney general, Janet Reno, that they gloried in that. And then he went on to do something that the Pope instructed him to do, was to bomb over 50 countries and murdering many innocent men, women, and children. It really, I mean, anyone that could look at these little babies being slaughtered, their limbs being blown off, their heads being blown off, body parts scattered all over the place, and look at that, and still admire Catholicism, and still admire puppets, ignorant or actual guilty or ignorant of being guilty people like President Bush, President Clinton, Ronald Reagan, and all these people that exalt Catholicism. And President Bush has actually even built these different, I think, what do they call them?
Monuments.
What's that?
Monuments.
Yeah, monuments in Washington, D.C., giving glory to the Pope and stating that he's going to do anything that the Pope tells him to do. Well, they all do that. JFK did that for a while, and then he decided not to. Well, then that's when they killed him, and then they killed his brother, because they were going after, they were becoming too open. They were openly exalting or wanting to do something for the blacks. And the Vatican hates blacks and Jews. They hate them. And that's why they murdered 6 million of them in Catholic Hitler's ovens in Poland, Czechoslovakia, Germany, all these different places. Okay, let's continue on with this track.
There's nothing they are saying about us that is right, and there's nothing that they can say about us that could cause us to stop preaching the truth.
Now, they keep telling us not to judge. But what are they doing when they say that we do all these things, but they're not judging from the Bible? The Bible says that we are able to judge all things. Let's read a little bit of chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians and keep the spot there.
Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust?
Yeah, so the Lord is saying, here's the government, church, cult, the government itself, and the government media judging us. And they're not even supposed to make any comments about Christianity, because they, in one breath, say there's a separation between church and state, and then they come in here and start judging us with the Pope's judgment, because the Pope doesn't like it, because the Bible says that homosexuals are going to hell, lesbians are going to hell. They don't like it because they say child molesters are going to hell. They don't like it because they say that fornicators and adulteresses and adulterers are going to hell. And liars, they're the biggest liars on the face of this earth. And yet they're running the government, and you, the people of this world, have allowed themselves to become under the jurisdiction, not of the U.S. government, but under the jurisdiction of the one world government. So when you allow people to make another government other than the U.S. government, don't be crying about you're not able to use the U.S. Constitution anymore, because you're now under another government, the Roman Catholic, the Roman Empire government, the one world government that says to hell with the U.S. Constitution. Now you'll live by our rules and regulations. And those rules and regulations are the very rules and regulations that the pilgrims fled to America for. I'm talking about North America. I don't mean South America or Central America, but the United States, the eventual United States. We fled, our forefathers fled from Europe to get away from the Vatican's despotic, evil, ungodly laws. And now you willingly put yourself under that. And you're saying you're waving American flags, and they're letting you do that for a while. But soon they're going to want you to say, don't be waving any American flag because you're not under America anymore, the United States. You're under the UN government, which is run by the Vatican. You're under Roman canon law. The Roman canon law says, kill the Christians, and that's exactly what Clinton did. And he says he feels that the Vatican is so powerful that he could actually openly say on international television that this should teach people not to join cults, meaning to not join other little Christian works here and there. It'll teach you to not be a Roman Catholic, is what he was saying. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then he wonders why he had to go through four major bypass surgeries and then collapse in his chin after that and have this fluid taken off of his, that was gathering around his heart again, and to have some of that scar tissue removed. And now he's fearful of dying because people say that he's aged twice as much in just the last few months. You can't burn Christians up, little children, little babies, their mothers, and their daddies, and get by with it. And then you can't go in and start killing people. Now, the Bible plainly says that people will be doing these things in the last day. The world government will be doing that. But God said he's going to shorten the time and send these people to hell. Now, this isn't my judgment. You people that judge us and say that we're doing all these criminal things, which we're not doing at all, you have no right to judge us. But Paul said, no man can judge me because I belong to the Lord, and he's my judge. But you don't belong to the Lord, but God still is going to judge you, and he's not going to judge you in a way that you're going to be happy about. Okay, so keep reading about judgment here.
Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?
Okay, so we have to go to law before the saints because the unjust law out there will never judge you correctly. So Paul is saying, are you any of you nuts, crazy enough to go to law with these uncircumcised Gentiles, these fatherless children, these bastards out in the world, is what he's saying. Because you're not going to get fair judgment any more than I did. When I went into court, they a bunch of unjust people, backsliders, and people that had been threatened by the government, stated all these false things about me, and it was the unjust. I didn't put myself in there. They came and got me and put me into a courtroom where I couldn't even testify of the good things that I've done. My attorney couldn't do that because they said, if you do, we're going to bring in more. We're going to frame you. We're going to bring in more and more liars that have been paid and threatened. Like they threatened to kill, I was married to a girl named Elizabeth. And she was told that her mother and two children would be killed if she doesn't testify falsely against me and if she doesn't divorce me. So she did. Well, the Bible says if a woman divorces you and she leaves you, that you have the right to get married again. And so I have married again. And Birgitta, I was married to her, and she testified she was the Princess of Sweden. And now you Catholics out there, you've been brainwashed into thinking, but the Bible says that if somebody leaves you and doesn't want to serve the Lord with you, that you have the right to marry again. But somebody that's in the Lord. So I led Birgitta to the Lord, the Princess of Sweden. She's also the heiress of Volvo Automobile Company. She stood up in court, said I was giving her $40,000 a month. That's what they wanted to say, or they'd take her house away, which has cost $3 million. She bought it from Les Brown, the Band of Renown leader, and she loved that house dearly. And then she also, they said they were going to take that away and send her, deport her back to Sweden. So she said he gave me $40,000 a month. We didn't even take that much in the whole church. The church would have collapsed if I would have done such a thing. And then I asked the government, well, did she pay taxes on the $40,000? I didn't want to hear that. Because, so do any of you have the guts, the stupidity to go into court with these unjust, ungodly, sick, one-world government under the power of Rome, which the Bible says is Satan's seat, where the great red dragon, the devil, sits? Do you want to go into court with the devil? In other words, what's he saying? No, he said, you should judge, take your matters before the just people, the people that are really born again of the Spirit, that will judge you righteously, because we are to judge. We are to judge. How else could we bring condemnation on the world if we didn't tell them that no adulterer, no fornicator, no homosexual, no lesbian, none of you people are going to go to heaven if you don't get right with God? Now, I'm not trying to put you under condemnation. I'm telling you the Word of God, the righteous judge, says that we are to judge all things by His Word. But, of course, you people don't know His Word. You don't want to know His Word because you don't want to feel that you're condemned. If you read the Word and were condemned of your sins and you repented, you would not go to hell. But if you love to continue on in darkness, then what chance have you got to get into the kingdom of heaven and stay out of hell? So read the Bible. Let it convict you, because the conviction of the Word of God is righteous, and it makes you righteous. If it convicts your soul, then repent and become dead, because when sin revives in you, then it slays you. It's supposed to slay you. When you can't really know what sin is until you read the Bible. And when you see, oh my God, I've done all these things, then that sin revives up into your conscience, and then your conscience slays you, and then you ask for forgiveness, and the blood of Jesus, by faith, applied to your soul, washes all your former sins away. And it says former sins. It doesn't say the sins that you commit today after this, because the Lord tells you to go and sin no more. And He gives you the power, the grace, what they call grace, but it really said power in the beginning, gives you the power to never sin again. And I think that's wonderful. Keep reading here.
Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?
Don't you know that we, the saints, the ones that you people, you ungodly people are framing, that we're going to judge you one of these days for that? But it's better that you receive the judgment from the Word of God now so that you can repent. Because if you don't repent and you are placed before us and we judge you, you know that we're going to have to judge you by the Word of God. Now, I count it all glory when I'm persecuted by preaching the gospel, because the Lord said that that would happen to me and that you'd say all kinds of lies about me. And especially you backslidden people out there that you want to make yourself right. Don't you know that by attacking us and me and the churches and other Christians as violently as you do, all you're doing is bringing more and more coals of fire down on your head? I just would only pray that you could be forgiven, but you possibly have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And if you have your soul, there's no forgiveness for it, for your soul. And there's no forgiveness in this world or in the world to come. Okay, continue on.
And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
No, we're not unworthy to judge the smallest matters. The Bible says I could take the youngest Christian in the church and they can judge you and myself and the whole world by just reading the Word of God. It says take the least esteemed among you and let them read the judgment out of the Bible. God's not going to pull out some new rule book on you when you stand before the judgment bar of God. You're going to be judged exactly as what you're hearing here on this earth. So repent. Turn around. And because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you're hearing the kingdom of heaven. The Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. These three are one. There's only one God. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Your brain, your heart, and your soul is all you. And the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, although they be three, different offices. They are all one. Uno. Okay, then what?
Know ye not that we shall judge angels?
We're even going to judge angels. Yes, those evil angels that followed Satan out of heaven, we're going to judge them. Well, we already know. They know what their judgment is. And we know we're not going to judge by any other means than the Word of God. You people are going to spend eternity, you angels are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, screaming your heads off. And you're never going to be able to get out of there. And you adulterers, fornicators, lesbians, you antichrist bastards, bastard means that you don't have God for your father, if you're not going to repent, you're going to scream your head off throughout eternity, yelling, gnawing on your tongue, gnashing your teeth, screaming out for mercy, but the God of heaven and earth, the God that created heaven, earth, and everything in it, will not hear you. He says, because you wouldn't hear him while you were here on earth. Then we'll go ahead.
How much more things that pertain to this life?
Yeah, so we should judge the people in the church with the Word of God. Now, they're saying in the press that Tony judges, rules his church with an iron fist. No, the Vatican is causing... I've never killed anybody in my life, but you people are slaughtering millions of people all over the world on false premises. You're saying that the people over Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Well, you rile them up and then you take pictures of them doubling up their fists, and like thousands of them saying, kill Americans, kill Americans. Well, of course they're saying that. You're the one that caused them to say it. You went over there and bombed millions of their men, women, and children, little kids. And then you're saying, look at this hate group. The media is saying, they're taking pictures of these people saying, kill Americans, kill Americans. Well, what do you expect them to do? I mean, they're not saved. We're not saying kill Americans. And we're not saying kill Iraqis or Iranians or anybody. We're praying for you. Because we don't want your soul to go to hell and to the lake of fire. We're praying for you. Sonny boy, sonny girl. You know, you need to repent because you're on your way. If the breath goes out of your body today and you yourself are stirring up so much trouble in the world, you don't realize that you're bringing wrath upon yourself. And some of you do realize it because you're so demonic, you know you're going to hell and you want to bring a whole bunch of other people to hell with you. But those of us that are saved, if we get vaporized by some atomic blast, we're saved. We're not going to hell. We're going into the kingdom of heaven immediately. And so you're not hurting us. I would love to be in the kingdom of heaven right now. These are things I say at funerals. I mean, I'd love to trade places with the person because I know they were saved and I know they're in heaven. And I'm still here on this ugly, dull mud ball called earth, with a bunch of you vipers living on it. I'll be so glad to be in heaven and away from all unrighteousness there. I'll be so glad to be rid of you. So, you know, I could say, if I was killed, then you did me service. Because to be absent from this body would to be present with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue on.
If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church.
Yeah, take the least esteemed person and open the Bible and let's see what God says. That's the proper judgment, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, but you people don't want to be judged by sensibility. You want to receive the smut that the Vatican, its news media, the world government, you're no longer the United States of America, they'll be the first to tell you that. That's why they're able to take the Bibles out of school and say that you'll learn what they want you to learn. They're not your children anymore, they say, like the Bible says they must be. But they're our children, the Pope says. And the whole world government that it controls and the media. Once you tune in, you know, they'll tell you about panda bears while they're spading and neutering you and gutting you and causing you to have to fry throughout eternity. Okay, continue.
I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you?
Wise means those that fear God. No, I don't see many in this world that are wise. I had a couple of our representatives at a city council meeting in this little town over here in Arkansas. And I could see there they had a bunch of church people there. They go to church, but they are bringing false accusations before the ungodly so that their souls will go to hell. It's not hurting me. It's hurting the sinner out there that ordinarily would have been saved by the things that I'm preaching if these supposed to be Christians were not slurring us. They're upset because we hired a security guard, because I can't be here all the time, to watch over the people at the church, because we don't carry guns, we don't have drugs or anything, but some of these people are firing guns into our church, firing bullets into our church, and so naturally, then they say, no other church does that, right? Because there's no other church that's being that have people firing bullets into their church. And if they did, they act like we're really, really abusing them because we hire security to take license plate numbers down. Now, if you can imagine how insane that is, if you could just imagine how insane that is, how evil and wicked it is for people. The Lord says, he says that people are going to hell for murdering. It doesn't say killing. It says murdering, planning to murder Christians. That's murder. If self-defense is not against the Bible at all. Because if in self-defense somebody got hurt or even killed, that's not against the Bible. Because the Lord expects you to defend the gospel and to resist the devil. But God forbid that anyone should plan to kill God's people, people of the Lord, and to malign them when they have the Spirit of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in them, and the Lord is talking right through them. You people in the United States don't understand the Bible. You're not Middle Easterners. You're not like us Jews. Then those of us that are strong Christians that have the anointing of the Lord to teach you the Bible, you don't want to hear it because you know you're sinners and you know you're on your way to hell. And it really bugs you. It makes you angry to know that somebody's telling you what the Bible says. In other words, we're telling you God's judgment against you. Okay, well, then read a couple more lines.
No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers.
Yeah, and that before the unbelievers. These supposed to be churches are taking us before unbelievers, and they're going along and putting things that they say in the newspapers against Christians, and they're doing it before people out there that are unsaved. So how are people going to want to become Christians if they see the churches bringing false accusations against Christians? Now, the word churches, they're not churches that would do something like that, are not churches of the Lord. They're the synagogue of Satan, because what they're doing is stumbling the unbelievers out there in the world. And the unbelievers cannot believe unless they see something believable coming out of churches, but they see more hatred coming out of churches than they do their next door and the unsaved neighbors. I mean, I never saw viciousness like this when I was out in the world and a sinner. Nobody ever falsely accused me like that, or just brought all kinds of false accusations against me until I became a Christian. And then Sue started taking me around to the different churches and the missions and things like that, and I saw so much hypocrisy. I saw so much sin that women would rush up to you and grab your hands and just tremble or something like that, and say, I just want to touch the flesh of a Jew, the same flesh as Jesus, and they'd hang on to you. And I thought, my God, I mean, I felt like I was being attacked by a bunch of imps, these huggy-kissy churches. A holy kiss is where you greet somebody, praise the Lord, hallelujah, that's a holy kiss. Okay, now, Jeannie, come on and read the rest of some of this other, this literature that I had. Go ahead.
We will not be conditioned by them as the rest of the world has been conditioned by them.
By who?
The news media.
Yeah. No, you people are being, you're being propagandized. They've made you believe a lie. And the Bible says that those that are liars and those that love a lie are going to be in the same lake of fire with the devil himself. Okay, then keep going.
On April 8, 1982, Susan Alamo died of terminal cancer. She had come from a little town in Arkansas, and from the very beginning, all could see the Lord's power in her life. Susan wrote a book, which is yet to be published. In it, she unveils some of her first supernatural revelations and other experiences with the Lord. In Susan's book, she states, quote, "If you would have told Tony and myself that we would be pastoring a church in 1965, especially a hippie church, we would have said impossible and think the very thought of it a joke. We were evangelists with many invitations to preach in churches. Our appointments were also with Christian businessmen's groups for breakfast, lunch, and dinner services. We had no involvement in the hippie scene. It was remote from our lives. I had and still have no knowledge of drugs and wouldn't know one narcotic from another. From our converts, we've heard of yellow jackets, red devils, nembutals, barbiturates, heroin, and smack. To us, these were all just so many words. Tony and I don't even take aspirin tablets, so all these others were foreign to us. But we know Jesus. I, Susan, have known him since I was a child. He revealed himself to me when I was a little girl. At the time, I was dying of tuberculosis. Some Christian people rented an old abandoned garage down the street from my family and held revival meetings there. My family said they were from the devil, a bunch of fanatics that should be put into jail. But every evening as I lay there alone, my body wasting away day by day, and the doctors giving me no hope, I heard the voices of, quote, those crazy people, unquote, quote, the fanatics down the street, unquote, singing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Every evening I waited to hear their songs. One day a neighbor lady sneaked into the house and told me the people down the street were praying for me. I could hear my mother crying when the family tried to convince her that she must make up her mind to give me up. When you lie very still for a long period of time, your hearing becomes very sensitive. One evening I began to fade away. In the excitement of my upcoming death, the, quote, fanatics, unquote, got into the house unnoticed. They knelt down beside my bed and cried out to God. Then Jesus came into my sick room and healed me. I was invited to the mountain farm of my cousin and his wife, who gave me fresh eggs and milk to regain my strength. There was an old-fashioned record player, the kind that you crank, in the little room of the farmhouse that was my bedroom. There was only one record. On one side was, When the World's on Fire, When the World's on Fire, Let God's Bosom Be My Pillow. Hide me over in the Rock of Ages cleft for me. On the wall was an old-fashioned calendar. I doubt that my cousin or his wife even knew about the record player or had paid any attention to the calendar. They were newlyweds, and the record and calendar had probably been left there by someone else. On the calendar was a picture of a cross chiseled out of rock. Hanging onto the cross was a girl with long blonde hair. She clung to the cross as big waves beat all around her feet. That girl became me, and the Spirit of God began to convict me. His Spirit made me know I was a sinner. Although I was only 9 years old, I felt as if all the sins of the world were on my shoulders. Even though God had healed me, I was unsaved. I, like all of us, was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I, like all of us, knew I must be born again, if I intended to inherit the kingdom of heaven. I would play the record, look at the calendar, and cry. I could not sleep, and I could not eat. I had seen Jesus when I was 5 years old. He had appeared to me. After I was old enough to read and understand the scriptures, I realized why he had appeared to me at the age of 5. It was so that I would know who he was at age 9 when he convicted me of my sins. In this way, I would know to cry out to him to receive salvation, because he alone is God the Savior, the mediator between God the Father and man. There is no other means given to us by God for our salvation but through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there is no other name given by God to us that we may call upon for our salvation but the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus is God who came to the world as a man to appropriate our salvation for us. After several days and nights of agonizing conviction, I walked out into the mountains and fell upon my face before God, crying out to him to save me. I called upon the Christ I had seen. Suddenly, the heavens opened and the Spirit of the living God came down into my very soul. I knew I was saved. God revealed some very supernatural wonders unto me that day, things I never forgot. One of these wonders was the knowledge that I would preach the gospel in the last days before Christ would come back to earth. God very supernaturally put Tony and I together. He used us in a mighty way to start the Jesus movement, which spread throughout the world. It was during a time of severe persecution that I discovered my cancer. Our new converts were distributing gospel literature throughout Los Angeles, primarily in Hollywood and West Hollywood Sunset Strip, where there was an infestation of Satan's corruption manifested in nude bars, porno bookstores, drug dealers, and heads of revolutionary movements, Black Panthers, hired killers, pill heads, potheads, heroin, cocaine addicts, prostitutes, and you name it.
Okay, mark that space, and we'll continue on tomorrow. I see my time is up. All these people were out there sinning, and soon I went into the streets with the gospel and won tens of thousands of them to the Lord. And they were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And some of them fell away, just like the Lord said some would, and they testified falsely, as I mentioned to you, against me in the courtroom after Susie had died. And this was at a time that I was grieving about the death of Susie. Here, you know, like even a dog won't bite the hand that feeds it. So these people are even worse than dogs that would, after, like, you know, after you do things for whole cities, like we put in, like, the bleachers at the high school over in New Hall, and then we buy parks for people and help them with their lights and water and all this sort of thing. But the Lord will save your soul. So these people testify against us after we help them. They say we're paying the city hall off and stuff like that. And we're not. We're just helping the city by making a place for the poverty-stricken people to go to the park and enjoy themselves a little bit, and then also to put their lights on and their gas on during the ice storm and everything. And we've done this so much, and then to see people turn around and try to mangle you. Of course they can't, because we're of the Lord, and the Lord's going to intervene for us. But we went out to win all these people that were into all the sin in the world, and you people out there, there's some of you that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you can be saved right now by saying this prayer. This is the first step into salvation, is to get saved. Say this prayer to him now and be saved. Father, Holy Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now raise your hands and praise the Lord, and share and come and tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of program number 243. Ask for a CD or a tape audio tape, and we'll send it to you postage paid and free of charge.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, here's a song that I did. Joe Leahy arranged it for me, and it's, we have our choir behind me. It's I'll Walk With God, and until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you, and praise the Lord.
I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. There is no death, though I when I'm near to Him, I lean on Him forever, and He'll forsake me never. He will not fail. Faith is strong. Whatever road I may walk along, I'll walk with God. I'll take His hand. I'll walk with God. He'll understand. Say.